95.7 Ben FM presents Her Story with Kathy Romano.
Good morning and welcome to the Her Story Show. Thanks so much for joining me again this Sunday. Or if this is your first time listening, thanks for being here with us. Her Story is a show where I focus on dynamic women who are making a significant impact in our community. And today I have another guest that is the definition of that. So I sit on the board for the Philadelphia Police Foundation, which is a 501c3 organization that supports the needs of the Philadelphia Police Department. We are having our annual A Night for Blue event coming up in just a few weeks. And the president of the Philadelphia Police Foundation, Maureen Rush, is here today not only to talk about that event, but to tell us her story. She has been in law enforcement since 1976 and was once part of a pilot program directed by the U.S. Department of Justice that focused on women on the police force. Please welcome the vice president of public safety and superintendent of the Penn Police Department, Maureen Rush. Maureen, thanks for coming by. It's great to see you.
Great to see you, Kathy.
So, are you born and raised Philly girl?
I am.
You are?
Yeah, and most people probably won't know this, but there's a section still known today as Swamp Poodle, and it was where the original Connie Mack Stadium, the original Philly Stadium,
yes,
was in North Philadelphia. I was born and raised there, and then Roxburgh after that, and moved around, but I'm back in the city.
Did you go to Roxborough High School?
I did not. I went to Catholic school. I went to Archbishop Kennedy High School,
okay,
up in Conchie, 1 year of Hallahan.
Yeah.
Down here in the city.
So when did you decide that you wanted law enforcement to be your career, or when did your career path go that way?
You know, about 1974, I started to observe police officers working in the Penn Center concourse. And there was a series of very unfortunate, dangerous sexual assaults against women. And out of the blue, I noticed that there was a female rape decoy. At the time, there were no women on patrol, but there were about 30 women who were in the juvenile division. And so they didn't really work the street, but they would pull them out for details. So I just thought that was really unusual, and I started putting applications in. In 1976, for that 1975 to 76 was when all the court action happened. The Department of Justice sued the city of Philadelphia, and they had to create a pilot of 100 women versus 100 men recruits. And I was one of the first 100 women to work street patrol. And I worked the fighting 25th district in North Philadelphia.
So that was the pilot program that was run by the U.S. Department of Justice.
That's correct.
Okay. And you were one of those 100 women, and you were on street patrol.
On street patrol, walked the beat at Broad Deary, Germantown, and Lehigh. We were in six police districts and were monitored for 3 years. It ended up being a 3-year test case. And of course, the rest is history. There's, you know, probably about 1,800 women on the job right now in Philly.
Is it 25% of the police force?
That's what
correct?
I'm told. Yeah, that's what
okay.
I'm told.
Do you credit that all to that program or programs like that?
Well, I think that program initially either made it or broke the idea of having women in street
sure.
patrol. And Department of Justice had people following us that were monitoring, you know, how women did, how men did. And they basically found that it's about people, right? It's not about the gender. There were some men that were terrific, some men that weren't, some women that were, some that were terrific. And then the rest is history. It's about training and making sure that people have the heart to be a police officer.
So how long were you on street patrol?
So I was in the Philadelphia Police for 18 years. And except for the last 3 years, I was in the training division for veteran officers. But all the other times, I was on street patrol in districts. I was in narcotics. I was undercover robbery, burglary. I was every district in the city going up the ranks. I was a lieutenant about to be promoted to captain when I took a detour to the University of Pennsylvania.
So what took you to the University of Pennsylvania then?
Well, I got a phone call from someone who was in a training with me that said that there was a position for director of victim support and special services within the Division of Public Safety at Penn. That there was an opening, and it was a lot of what I was teaching at the time. At the time, I was doing State of Pennsylvania Municipal Police Training, which is a requirement for all State of Pennsylvania certified police officers, so Philadelphia Police. So we were doing a lot of training around domestic violence, stalking, sexual harassment, sexual assault, etc. And so I was on the captain's list. I was about to be promoted. I was 25 on the list, expected to be promoted within the year, and thought, well, I'll go for an interview. And one interview went to another interview, and I had 13 interviews, multiple people interviews. And around the 10th interview, I decided I wanted the job. It took me 12 years to finish my undergraduate degree because I didn't immediately go from high school to college. I worked at the bank in Center City, Beneficial Savings Bank, now Beneficial Bank. That's where I got the bug to be a police officer because I met the team that was doing the decoy work.
Oh, while you were at the bank.
In the Penn Center concourse. Yeah. And so I, on and off because of shift work, took 12 years. So I always say to people, listen, it's a journey, not a destination. So I had finished my undergrad, and then I thought, well, if I go to Penn, I'll do a master's at Penn. And I ended up coming to Penn in 1994, and I did in 2001 took my time and finished a master's degree in organizational dynamics.
What exactly is organizational dynamics?
So organizational dynamics is really management, but you could take a detour, become a life coach, business coach. So it's really just analyzing how you work with people and how you do management, basically. And the organizational dynamics program, which is still here at Penn, is a great program in that you're really working mostly with people who are out in the field working. And so you're doing cohorts and really learning from each other as well.
You currently manage 120 Penn police officers, a total of 179 public safety staff. And under your leadership, the University of Penn's Division of Public Safety was recognized as the number one institution in the higher education sector for 10 years in a row.
It's actually 11 now. There's a magazine called Security Magazine, and every year they do the Security 500. And they look at every sector across security, so not just universities. So, it could be IBM, could be retail, could be K through 12. And for us, it's higher education. So it's colleges and universities. You have to do a survey, and they determine, depending on all the programs you're doing, how much your spend is. And of course, we manage not only the university, but the health system as well. So we have our hospitals, Presbyterian Hospital, the University of Pennsylvania is all part of that. We've been recognized for 11 years in a row as the number one public safety organization within the higher education sector.
So the 11 years all under your leadership, correct?
Yes. Yes.
I just want to go back to when you were on street patrol. So in 1976, what was it like as a woman going out onto the street to patrol the street, protect the community, and fight essentially against bad guys?
So in 1976, women were not welcome in law enforcement across the country, and they were very not welcome in Philadelphia. So Frank Rizzo was the mayor. He had been the police commissioner, and he did not want women on street patrol. He didn't think it was safe. He didn't think they could handle it. And so he fought it until the Department of Justice basically made him do it or lose federal funding. So you can imagine when we came out of the academy in September 1976 and we went to these six pilot districts to be basically in a petri dish being examined about how we reacted to all types of crime. And we were not allowed to work with veteran officers, which is unheard of. You always take a police recruit out of the academy and you put them together with another police officers. You do a field training operation, et cetera, et cetera. But we were actually on our own. And back in the day in Philly, the Philly PD did 6 days on, 2 days off, and you would rotate backwards. So you basically had most of the month on night work. And so we could depend upon being put on the beat at Broad and Erie or Germantown and Lehigh. And we were not allowed in a police car with men, except if they were a supervisor. Oh, and they forgot to order us coats. We came out of the academy in September. At the beginning of November, it starts to get a little chilly. Back in the day, Philly PD wore the leather coats, the black leather coats that were long. So they take a while to make, right? And we were sized and everything in the academy, but they forgot to order them. So
now freezing.
We're now freezing. We are walking around. They had to get us ski parkas. So we looked pretty silly out there and not very official. And there was no big fanfare that women were hitting the streets. But I will tell you that I think that's where I learned my best techniques in community policing. Because when you're walking a beat and you're meeting all types of people, and this was a low socioeconomic, high crime district, I learned that there were tons of really good people who, just like me, were going to work every day. And so it was a great touch point for me and stuff that I learned back in that day. I teach my officers today that you never know until you get out of a police car and you walk around and you meet people. And it's about building relationships. And so what was a negative turned into a positive because all of my supervisory traits that I take to today for not just policing, but for how you treat people, right, came from what not to do from some of the supervisors I worked for.
Do you keep in contact with any of those 100 women that were in that pilot program?
Absolutely.
And
absolutely.
Are they still in law enforcement?
There's two of us left that are still working. And that woman is Pat Brennan, and she works in my division. And she is my director of special services, my original job at Penn.
Wow. So you guys work together?
We work together. And we worked in the 25th District together. So we've known each other for 42 years.
What's it like being a woman in your current position, the difference between the 70s and now?
It's night and day. And I'm really happy that I'm working at the University of Pennsylvania as a vice president and chief of police. I've been at Penn 24 years this April 15th, and I've worked for two women presidents. We have a lot of women vice presidents. So it's like night and day compared to that. And the other thing is, it's interesting that the police officers of today, several generations later, they don't look at women supervisors as unique because it's normal now. Whereas back then, not only you wouldn't have thought you would be a supervisor or a commander because you were barely a police officer. But over those years, and I noticed that when I was a lieutenant here in West Philadelphia in the Philadelphia Police, we broke in some new rookies. And these guys were totally like, it was like normal to them to have a woman boss. And so I think the generations have continued to grow. And at least in my experience, both at Penn and Philly PD, it's a norm now.
It's much different now, yeah. I know the requirements to become a police officer have changed. What is it now that they must have or don't have to have, and how do they get into the police academy?
So you're talking about Philadelphia Police?
For Philadelphia Police.
For Philadelphia Police, there is a residency requirement, but you have a year, I believe, to move into the city of Philadelphia, so you could take the tests from elsewhere. They will put you through the police academy, which is give or take about 9 months. In some unique situations, if you're a police officer somewhere else, in another state or somewhere outside of Philadelphia, you can get a waiver where you don't have to go through the police academy for that entire time. So I know under Commissioner Ross, the requirement had been that you had to have an associate's degree. He has changed that and is allowing people without an associate's degree to apply. They do a lot now with like Community College of Philadelphia to try and encourage people then to get an associate's degree. But it was a little bit difficult to mandate that, and they were having trouble recruiting. The Philadelphia Police Foundation helped do a survey with the Philadelphia Police. We paid for that survey to look at the pros and cons of that requirement.
What is the age restriction?
I don't know for sure. I think at 19, I believe you have to be at least.
Okay. If someone is interested in getting more information about becoming a police officer, what's the best way for them to get that? Is it going to the website?
Just go on the Philadelphia Police website. There's definitely a recruitment department, and I believe it's right on the website. They're out doing recruitment fairs all the time.
And are you looking for any police officers at the University of Penn?
We actually are just at the end of a hiring process, and we require people to have what's called the Act 120 certification. So either you're coming from already certified as a police officer, or in this region, we have private police academies run out of Delaware County, Community College in Montgomery County, and Temple. And so we're lucky enough that we have tons of recruits coming from there. And so we're able to have the baby boomers and the younger men and women. So we're about to hire 10 officers in the next couple weeks.
Tell our listeners about the Philadelphia Police Foundation and what exactly the foundation does for the Philadelphia police officers.
So the Philadelphia Police Foundation is a not-for-profit. It's a 501c3, which means when people donate, it's a tax deduction for them. It was created in 1999 by several business people here in the region. They based the model after some existing police foundations. For example, NYPD has a very successful police foundation. Washington, D.C., Metro Police have one. And the reason we started the foundation was there are mandates that either pop up where a police commissioner says, wow, I'll give you an example, Kathy. We during the papal visit, then Deputy Commissioner Rich Ross came to one of our meetings and said, our motorcycles are aging and we're going to be on the international spotlight. And we want to make sure when we're doing these escorts for the papal dignitary detail that our motorcycles, A, are safe and look good and safe because the old motorcycles don't have the anti-locking brakes. So that was a great example of it wasn't on a strategic plan. It wasn't paid for by the city of Philadelphia normal police budget. And we were able to do that. And we delivered 13 motorcycles in time for the papal visit. And every donation that came in was slated for that. And we have a very detailed budget. We have a great treasurer in the private world, the CPA types, and we make sure that those lines are directly, whether it's the mounted patrol, the motorcycle unit. We're doing a with the help of Fletcher Cox, donated last year $100,000, and he wanted his money to go to do a retro of a police district. So the 18th Police District and Southwest Detectives are located together at 55th and Pine, and we're in the midst right now of doing some new kitchens and sprucing the place up.
Some renovations.
Renovations to make the quality of life of the officers better.
Sure. You know, I found it amazing in the few years that I've been coming to the meetings and helping out in any way that I can. Different things like the motorcycles, the mounted patrol, the canine bulletproof vests.
Yes.
And then especially, I had no idea about the precincts and the buildings that these officers are in and that they don't have hand soap. They don't have paper towels. Sometimes they don't have toilet paper. I mean, there are things, they're freezing, they're sweating. I had no idea the conditions of some of those buildings.
Right, right. And so this is a one example of a district that, as a result of our working this project, the city actually came in with us because we're working through the city of Philadelphia to do the retros, right? And they actually put HVAC in the locker rooms for the men and women at the 18th District now. So what used to be 90 degrees in the summer and 20 degrees in the winter, as they changed and got into their heavy-duty bulletproof vest, et cetera, you can imagine on a hot August day, suiting up and coming up to roll call, and you're already having a bad day.
Yeah.
So these are all the types of things that the foundation looks to support at the request of the police commissioner.
What's your relationship like with the commissioner and the mayor of the city of Philadelphia?
We work hand in hand with the police commissioner. Police commissioner comes to all of our meetings, as does the first deputy commissioner.
Has it been like that in the past?
When I joined back around 2001 is when I came on the board, when I was promoted to vice president at Penn, and I joined the board. There were only probably 5-6 members on the board at that time, and the commissioner sometimes would come. It never really totally took off. I would say that in the last 15-18 years now, we have been able to recruit an amazing group of people on the board, you know, yourself included, that are here to help and bring their corporations and organizations to back them to help, right?
Sure.
And starting with John Timity, you know, he was the one that actually asked them to start that up. In fact, we're honoring one of the gentlemen, Pat O'Connor of Cozen O'Connor Law Firm, was one of the founding members with guys like John Binswanger, who, as you know, does all the real estate in the city. John Timity, when he first came to Philadelphia from NYPD, he was used to the foundation there. So that's how the foundation began. John Timity said, oh, I need that. They bought Segways. They bought some bulletproof vests. And then it kind of waned over the years with the next couple of commissioners. And then when Chuck Ramsey came to town and became commissioner, he really wanted to rejuvenate that as well. So between Chuck Ramsey and now Rich Ross, we have a very close working relationship. We are about to go into another strategic planning mode to find out what the next 3 to 5 years needs will be. And we want to make sure we're there to support the men and women in blue.
I just find it very impressive that Commissioner Ross and the Deputy Commissioner both come to every single meeting.
Yes, they come to every full board meeting. And we meet in between sometimes. You mentioned the mayor. Met with the commissioner and the mayor on a couple different issues to support the Philadelphia police, including body cameras. And a lot of times we can actually, maybe we're not directly responsible for the raising dollars for things, but we can also be that pass-through. So there could be something that, for example, maybe the SWAT team or the mounted patrol, they have someone who wants to donate money. A great example is you mentioned the canine ballistic vest. And one of our board members, Joanne Berwin, wasn't a board member at the time, but wanted to give money to make sure that every one of the police dogs, canine dogs, had a bulletproof vest and didn't know how to go about doing that. And fortunately, the captain of canine said, oh, go to the Philadelphia Police Foundation and you can buy it through them. That's what we did. We had a great press conference. Everybody was so excited to see the dogs out there sporting their new canine vest.
Let's get into the event. A Night for Blue. It's taking place Thursday, April 17th. Tell me all about the event.
So this is our second annual Night for Blue. Our goal is to raise $500,000, and it is a very cool night. We're not having you sit down and, you know, sit through a program that's several hours eating the normal bouquet of chicken and things like that. It's a heavy hors d'oeuvre cocktail hour for 2 hours, And during those 2 hours, there's a silent auction. And more importantly, we have a live auction where we have some of the coolest ways in which you can bring your company in and do some team building. One such item would be for our learning how to respond to an active shooter situation. So our SWAT team will take 12 people, and it could be your company, right? And you would bid on that for the live auction. You would go up to SWAT headquarters, and they would treat you as though you were a police officer responding to an active shooter.
And you did this prize last year, correct?
We did.
And I remember seeing the video of the people that bid on it and won last year and how amazed they were at the whole experience.
Yes. They felt like they were actually police officers doing it, right? We have the aviation unit. Two people will go up on patrol with the pilot and Air One, the helicopter. We have the marine unit go out on the river. So lots of really cool live auction items. We'll breeze through those very quickly.
One-of-a-kind experiences, too, not things that you can buy anywhere else or even get as an auction item at another event.
Absolutely. This is the only place you're going to do this. And we have all of these items on our website, phillypolicefoundation.org. You'll see what the pricing starts at. And it's the kind of thing that, you know, maybe a solo individual may not buy or bid on, but we have corporations that are going to be there. We have CEOs that are going to be there, and they're going to do a team building exercise. What better way than to team build with the Philadelphia Police?
Yeah, absolutely. So it's cocktails, it's hors d'oeuvres, it's a 2-hour event. People can buy tickets on the website. Are you still looking for sponsors?
We're always looking for sponsors, yeah. And we have, so it's 5:30 to 7:30. We go from the commissioner's level, 25,000, down to the sergeant level, 2,500. And people can also buy tickets for, I believe it's $275 each.
And the event is at the ballroom at the Ben.
It is.
Which is a beautiful room.
It is. Brad Corman is the owner, and he's on the board, and he makes for a very exciting night. We're honoring a really great guy, one of the founders of the foundation. I had mentioned Pat O'Connor from Cozen O'Connor. So as a founding member, we want to pay tribute to Pat. His law firm has been amazing in bringing in funds. And we're actually close right now, even before that night, of reaching our goal. So we hope to surpass the $500,000 goal. We have several very prominent co-chairs, and one of those co-chairs is no other than our famous Eagle, Fletcher Cox.
Which was kind of a surprise last year, his association, or kind of last minute.
Fletcher came in with a surprise $100,000 gift. And Fletcher was in Atlanta the night of the event and got stuck at the airport. We kept telling people, don't leave, because we wanted Fletcher to have the $100,000 check and present it.
Of course.
And he did show up. He did show up. And a lot of people stuck by us and kept eating and drinking.
Oh, I remember. He came like running in because he didn't want to miss it and apologized, even though it wasn't his fault.
Absolutely.
The flight was delayed. So he'll be there again this year.
He will. And he might have a surprise for us again.
How can people get involved with the foundation if they're interested?
People can get involved. Go to our website. There's a way you can donate for whatever your interest is. It may be the Mounted Patrol, the canine. It may be for SWAT. Or it may be you just want to give a gift and you want to be used the best way it can be used. At the end of the day, we're all better for it if we have a better police department, because we also do, with that money, we do training. It's not just about the gadgets that we're talking about now. And at the end of the day, you don't have to live in Philly, but if you work in Philly and you run a business in Philly, you want to have a very, very strong police department. And the City of Philadelphia funding goes so far, but the Police Foundation is there to pick up the pieces where they might not have the funds to do it and don't want to wait a full fiscal year. So we invite everyone to get involved. If someone wants to join the board, we're happy to entertain that as well. And we're all able to be contacted through the Police Foundation website.
Can you give us one bit of advice? What would you tell your officers or any officer before they head out onto the street each day? What's one bit of advice that you would give them?
I think in the climate of the country right now, it's important for all police officers to first and foremost make friends in the community. They patrol in a certain area. They should know everybody. It's all about relationships. And my experience as a young rookie was that when the foot was hitting the pedal and there was a problem, you needed to depend on the community to make a phone call for you, to call an assist in. And so it's important for officers to know, rookies to veterans, that there's a lot of support in the community. We hear it every day for all police departments. And it's important for the community to know the officers that are patrolling their area, whether it's their office area or their home. And so it's about relationships, and it's about getting to know what people's needs are and also to support the people who are providing the security and safety for people every day.
Maureen, thank you so much for coming by. What you do in our community for the Philadelphia Police Foundation and the University of Pennsylvania is absolutely wonderful. And you're the definition of this show, Her Story. This is what I focus on, people who make a difference in our community. And that's you.
Thanks, Kathy. Thanks for having me on.
If you'd like to attend the event, A Night for Blue, or be a sponsor, go to phillypolicefoundation.org for all the information, and hopefully I will see you there.
This is Her Story with Kathy Romano on 95.7 Ben FM.
Before we wrap up for the morning, I have another event to tell you about. Different event, different day. Please welcome Sarah DeLaurentis, the Director of Development and Communication for Action Wellness. She's here today to give us the rundown of this year's Dining Out for Life event. Sarah, thanks for coming by again.
Thanks for having me. Really appreciate it.
So for anyone who's not familiar with Action Wellness, tell us what the foundation supports.
So Action Wellness works with those living with HIV and AIDS, as well as other chronic illnesses in the Philadelphia area. We serve 4,000 clients and their families every year.
The Dining Out for Life event is your big event, and that's coming up soon. But first, you have the Dining Out for Life food truck pop-up. What is that?
So this is really exciting. We've actually been doing the food truck pop-up for 5 years, but this year we moved it to the weekend before Dining Out for Life. So it's really our kickoff event. We have 15 food trucks. We have local makers, which are local artisans like Weckerly's, who actually has a special Dining Out for Life sandwich available. And most importantly for some people would be that Yards Brewing Company is going to be there serving Action IPA, as well as some of their other beers, and donating back $1 per beer for us.
And where is this?
So this is on the 1300 block of Locust Street. It starts at 11 o'clock a.m. and runs until 3 p.m.
And what is the date of the food truck pop-up?
Saturday, April 14th.
So this is the weekend before the big event.
Yes, it is.
And this is a cool event.
It is. It's always been the biggest part of Dining Out for Life. It's something that everyone looks forward to. So we're really hoping to bring in a big crowd on a Saturday.
Okay, so give us the details about Dining Out for Life, the actual event, and what people have to look forward to for this fundraiser.
Sure. So Dining Out for Life has been around for 28 years, going into our 28th year. And really what it is that local restaurants donate 33% of their proceeds that evening back to Action Wellness and our program supporting those living with HIV and AIDS. What you can do is go to our website, diningoutforlife.com, to pick your restaurant. There are almost 200 restaurants in the area that participate. Anything from a Steven Star down to a burger place. We've got everything you could possibly want.
And do you have to make reservations, or can you just go to the different restaurants?
We definitely want you to try to make reservations that evening, because the restaurants do fill up. We have a lot of people that go out just on that night.
You said diningoutforlife.com. All the information is there. Can they make the reservation there, or does it bump them then to the individual restaurants?
So actually, a lot of the restaurants are on OpenTable, and we have a partnership with them. So if you click on the link, you'll be able to make your reservation right then.
And do they need to let them know that they're doing this for Dining Out for Life?
It's always awesome to let the restaurants know that that's why you're there. It means a lot to us, but it also means a lot to the restaurant because it gives them more business for that evening.
And you said it is Thursday, April 19th.
Yes.
What are the times?
So for Thursday, April 19th, really, it's any time during the day. Some of our restaurants you'll see on our website do lunch, but some do dinner. So it's just a great way to support a great organization like Action Wellness. All you have to do is dine out.
Well, Sarah, thank you so much for coming by. What are the social media accounts that people can follow if they want to follow along with the event?
So you can just follow at Dine Out for Life PHL. So it's Dine Out, the number 4, PHL. You can also support Dining Out for Life and Action Wellness by using our text to donate. You can text the word DINE to 50155.
And you can go to diningoutforlife.com for more information. Sarah, thanks again for coming by.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks so much for joining me again today. I'm Kathy Romano. Have a great rest of your Sunday.
This has been Her Story with Kathy Romano. Her Story is produced by WBEN-FM in Philadelphia and airs weekly or on demand on your mobile device. Listen or subscribe at 957benfm.com.